Welcome everyone to my new show, Can't Knock the Interview, which is a spinoff of my current podcast, which is called Can't Knock the Pod. On this show, I'll be interviewing my peers who are movers and shakers in their respective fields. So I'm going to have athletes to actors to musicians, just people that's doing their thing from the city and that's not from the city. I'm honored to have my first guest who is from the city, who I'll be introducing in a moment here. Before we get started, I do want to give a nod to our sponsors, the Youngstown Studio, which you can find them on Facebook and YouTube, Can't Knock the Pod Podcast, which you can find us anywhere you listen to your podcast, as well as YouTube and FamCoin, which you can go check that out with more information at www.faamcoin.com. Without further ado, I would like to introduce my first guest, who is an Ohio native, a RAND graduate, one of the most humblest people I know. I asked him to be my first guest on the show, and without hesitation, he said yes. And you've seen him on your TV, you've seen him in your grocery store, and now you're going to see him on Facebook Live. And it just did Joshua Tripler.
My man said grocery store. That's hilarious. Thank you very much.
How you doing, man? What's going on, man?
Bro, man, it's good to see you, man. Good to be on your show, bro. I didn't realize I was the first guest. It's dope.
Yeah, you are the first guest, man. You're my this is my kickoff. So I really appreciate you being. I wanted to interview you for a long time. So I just got this opportunity to start this new kind of show here, and I'm like, you were the first person that I reached out to. So I'm one for one right now, but we'll see how that goes as I progress.
Appreciate it, man.
How you doing, man? You look good, man.
Thank you, dog. Everything's good, man. I brush my teeth every day. I take showers. You know, the usual.
I can see. I can see. I can tell. I didn't want to tell you this, but my mom loves you.
Oh, really? I don't think I've ever met your mom before.
No, you haven't met her. I showed her your picture. This was a while ago because we were watching The Neighborhood, and we're going to get into that about that show. But we were watching that, and I'm like, oh, I have a friend on that show. You know, I'm all excited. And she's like, who? So I go and show her your Facebook. And she's like, oh, he's a cutie. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, calm down.
Yeah, I can't. I'm too young to be your stepdad, bro. Tell her I'm too young.
No, but I appreciate you, man. On this interview, we kind of touched bases a little bit before. I'm going to just want to just go over your story, man. You are an inspiration. I sent you a comment that somebody just left under one of my statuses about how you inspire them. And I think you inspire a lot of people from the area. And we just want to talk to you about it. You know, just hear from the commercial king.
Got you, man. No doubt, bro. So, that's amazing to be an inspiration, bro, because I literally just live, man. This has always been a dream of mine, goal. And the thing that was instilled in me at a young age from Youngstown and from church, I went to Neville's Temple back over on Northside. Was just, you know, believe it, have that faith, and never give up. So I always stay persistent. I'm glad that the hard work is finally paying off, man.
So is this something that you always wanted to do? Like you graduated from RAND, correct?
Yeah, the RAND High School. Yeah,
the RAND.
It's always something I wanted to do. I went to Bennett Elementary, and the principal at the time, Mrs. Thornton. Do you know Gary Thornton and Brittany Thornton?
Oh yeah, 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 that's my barber actually.
Their grandmother. Oh, dope. Okay, I forgot he cut now. So their grandmother was my principal in elementary, and I'll never forget. I always give her credit for like igniting my flame and like keeping me going, man. She heard me singing one day. She was like, you're gonna be a star. And I'm like, oh. She's like, sing something for me. I sang some Boys and Men, had my my sunglasses on, trying to act all cool. And she put me in the sixth grade choir. I was the only second grader in the sixth grade choir. And at the time, it was a lot of people I looked up to, Jason Rosendary, what's his name, Donnell Phillips, you know, like those people like that who were peers of mine, but older. They took me under their wing and was like, look, you dope, bro. And they kind of pushed me ahead, you know what I mean? But from right, then on, bro, I was doing stage plays, school plays. I was in Youngstown Connection. I saw my first Broadway show in New York, and I was like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life, man.
Oh, that's super dope. And it's kind of bad that we didn't have as many opportunities here to really flourish that, you know what I'm saying? That
not, at that you yeah, not at all. Right? A lot of it was me creating my own opportunities, writing myself, you know, a lot of stage plays that I was a part of in choir, you know, that we as the school population put together. Of course, I was in every band, every choir, every ensemble, you know, so I was a part of everything to kind of fulfill that that portion, but it wasn't enough professional opportunities at all. That's why I had to take my talents elsewhere, for sure.
Almost like a LeBron thing.
LeBron James, bro. But
you went to Long Beach out that way.
Right.
I remember, man, I remember you because you're not only an actor, you're a singer, writer, you do managing, but I remember the singing, you know. You had the song with Kenny Ali, and
yeah,
was that your first big break in the singing?
That was. I've been doing music since I was 12, professionally writing and just in a recording studio and stuff. I used to produce my own music back on the Triton when they had floppy disk and stuff. Ooh, I was, you know, yeah, I've been at it for a minute, bro. I've been at it. Like Cakewalk, I don't know if you remember Cakewalk, some of them softwares. But as far as music, I remember my brother, he was like, he had a recording studio, and I used to go to Virginia Beach every summer with him. And one summer he was like, look, he took all of his equipment apart. And he was like, if you want to record this summer, you got to figure out how to put it together. He was like, and it's super sensitive. So if you plug it in wrong, you're going to fry my system. I'm going to beat your head. I'm like, okay. So it took me the whole summer to figure it out. And finally I figured it out. And what he was teaching me is how to set up my own system back at home, so I didn't always have to rely on just him and being there. So I was about 13 or 14 when I got my own recording studio, kind of put it all together. I was on a little laptop microphone, you know, from Walmart, but I was making it work, man. It was a way for me to be creative and kind of stretch my pen game and stuff like that. But it was meeting Kenny Ali was the first big one that was like professionally mixed, mastered, distributed, radio play. And so that was a big moment in my career, for sure.
Do you remember what studio you recorded in?
We recorded that in Kenny's studio. He did the track. He produced it. He mixed it. He mastered it. As a matter of fact, we sent it out to get mastered, but we recorded it in-house in his spot.
Did you go on tour because of that song?
I think yeah, I remember like a tour. Yeah, we did some regional touring. We had a campaign manager. We did like I would say a 6 to 8 month campaign, to where we were, you know, like PA, Jersey, all over Ohio, Kentucky, like just going on tour and stuff like that.
And at that point, you hadn't really tapped into acting yet, have you?
Not professionally. I didn't really start doing acting until I went to New York. I went to New York in 2005 when I graduated RAND, and I was in school. Once I graduated college, I went to the American Musical and Dramatic Academy there. And I did some off-Broadway, some tours and stuff like that with acting. But I moved back to Ohio, and that was the first time I actually met Kenny when I moved back to Ohio. And I was only supposed to be for a year, just so I can kind of like regroup, get my ducks in a row before I came to LA. I ended up losing my father during that time. So I ended up staying in Ohio for about 2 years instead of one. But once I kind of got myself collected, I had a family, because I moved back to Ohio. I had my girlfriend at the time, was now my wife, and my daughter was born in Ohio. So my wife was pregnant at that time.
Okay.
So by the time my daughter turned two, we moved to LA to kind of restart, reset, and things like that, just to kind of get our feet back on the road, man.
So the goal was to always move to LA? Like you knew that's where you
LA had was to be, always man. The goal, man. LA. I remember watching. You remember that movie American Dream? Jackson 5, American Dream.
Oh yeah.
Bro,
yeah.
I remember seeing that movie. And it's so crazy. Shout out to Jason Weaver. He played Michael Jackson in that movie. And I remember being so young and inspired by his character. And it was this scene where they went to New York. I'm sorry, they went to LA from Gary, Indiana. And I just remember seeing the palm trees, seeing how their opportunities opened up and how happy they were. So as a young kid, 8, 9 years old, I saw that movie and I'm like, I got to go to Hollywood. I got to go to LA. And it was always scary to move that far because I didn't have friends or family out there. So which is why I went to New York, was like the closest next best thing for me, the safer option. I can drive back to Ohio.
That's a 6-hour drive.
8 hours, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But LA was like all the way over there.
So you there, you there.
Practice first.
No. So, and I'm going to get back to the move to LA. I want to go back a little bit before we get that far. Like, I remember you doing like magic and different things like that. What brought that? You know, what made you do that? Or was that something that you liked to do? Or you were just like, I'm gonna entertain in all aspects of entertainment.
Yeah. So acting was kind of weird. So I always was interested in acting, but my mother could never afford to give me the tricks. And if I did end up getting the tricks, I could never learn them or figure them out. So moving to New York, graduating college, I didn't really have any real job, as they say, out of college. I just knew I was gonna be acting. And, you know, the audition process was hard. You never knew when you was gonna get a show. You never knew how long the contract was gonna be. So I remember going to Toys R Us in Times Square for the very first time, the biggest Toys R Us in the world. And I walked in and this dude was like, hey, you like magic? I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, you can work here. I can teach you. I'm like, dope, I'm looking for a job. So he taught me like 1 to 3 tricks. I mastered them. Within 6 months, I became the manager of the magic company. I was a US manager because it's a London-based company. It's called Marvin's Magic. I assembled a team of about 10. I was bringing in about $500,000 a month in revenue for the company. And I realized that I could be doing this for myself. The only thing that I was missing was the capital up front. So one of the things I did in Youngstown, I don't know if you remember, I had a store in Eastwood Mall, also Southern Park Mall. I put up my own money. Yeah, so you remember seeing me there. So my wife was my first official investor. She was like, look, I believe in you. You have a proof of concept. You've done this before. Here's enough money to get yourself a kiosk. I knew the owner of that product that I was selling. He's from Columbus, multimillionaire, 26 years old. Mm. He was like, bro, I know you can push these. I'll give you an invoice that you can got a net 30 to pay me back. So I'll give you all the product you need. Just make sure you pay within 30 days. Bro, within 24 hours of opening up, I made all the money back for my wife and all the money back for my product. I was making profit. I was in a green within 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
So that's a blessing. After seeing the potential of magic, I was like, yo, this is entertaining. This is stretching my social skills. And it's also stretching me being personable, relatable, and having people kind of fall in love with your character almost instantly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's a and skill that really, really helped me a lot in my career.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope. I remember, that's why I remember seeing you at the mall during magic and just being like, man, this cat does everything. He does everything. And you're one of the type, like you hear like, you would see like an athlete or something, and you'd be like, that guy was made to play football, or that guy was always, I knew he was going to be a basketball player. Like, I can say that about you, like, from day one, like, yo, he's going to be on TV somewhere. Like, you got the look and everything, that, man. So,
thank you, bro.
So you,
I'm sorry to interrupt. So my battery is dying on the computer. I'm going to switch over to my phone. If that's cool. If you just quick intermission, no, cool. I'm so sorry.
Hey, for people that's watching this, if you can share this to the rest of your Facebook friends, help us out here, get our views up, and we're going to pause for a quick second while he switches over to his phone. Oh, yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're good.
Cool, I'm about to get you on my AirPods real quick, 1 second.
Okay. My life. Oh, I'm still alive. Hey, everyone. And no, for real, though, I need y'all to share this, man. Help us out, man. Help Trip Legend. Trying to do something new here, man. I appreciate everybody that's tuned in, that's supporting. Every share is very appreciative. Thanks, Lucas, for your comment.
All right.
Can you guys can leave comments, too. Yes. Yeah, I can hear you.
Dang. Okay, cool.
No, we're good.
I don't know why the phone wasn't working at first, but we good.
People, you can leave comments, guys. We can see your comments. We'll read them. If you got some things to say you want to say to Josh, we're ready to go, Luke. All right, you ready, Trip?
Yes, sir.
All right, so just picking up where we left off. So now you're moving to L.A. Biggest move of your life. Like, how scared are you?
Bro, terrified.
Because you got to. Are you married at this time?
No,
you still have not yet.
Yeah, not yet. So I actually got married when I moved to LA. My wife is so down, so loyal, so dedicated. So, bro, like, she's incredible, man. This whole time, I met her in New York in Times Square. We end up getting her pregnant. I'm like, look, you need to come to Ohio with me. And she's like, okay. She comes to Ohio. Youngstown from New York, and we're there for 2 years.
She's a trooper. Already, she's a trooper.
She's a trooper, bro. I'm broke. I'm trying to, you know, I'm struggling, trying to get my career together. And she was there from day one, just holding it down, bro. She's always been there. So, let me just tell you this. This is a part of my project, 16 Monologues, and it's actually coming up. So I'll give you an exclusive little tidbit to this project.
I got questions my about project, that.
Perfect. So my project is based on a true story about me and my wife's relationship. And at this particular point in my life, moving to LA, I told you I was only supposed to be in Youngstown for a year, but my dad fell sick. So I started selling cars. I was selling in Warren over at Claiborne, Ford and Lincoln. You know, we're renting a house. We're getting eviction notices. You know, I hate working. I'm literally, bro, I'm selling cars. I'm like, I'm supposed to be in LA, man. What is this? I'm trying to figure out how to be a new father. So I literally just sold everything. I sold everything in the house, PlayStation, TVs, computers, studio equipment, furniture. I sold everything. And I'm like, look, we need to go to LA empty handed. We need all the capital we can get. I waited till we got tax returns as well to kind of blanket that too. And the plan was, I'm going to fly you to New York with your parents, with Jaden, my daughter at the time. I'll go to LA for 30 days. And if I don't have apartment and furnish and everything set up in 30 days, we're going to call this out. You know what I'm saying? So that was my incentive. If I get this figured out in 30 days, I get my family back. I did that, bro. So the first 30 days out in LA, I was doing magic on Hollywood Boulevard to make ends meet, bro. I was literally out there hustling, like making tips, just enough tips to like pay the bills. You know what I'm saying? And within 30 days, I was able to fly my family out, bro. I had an apartment, it was furnished, and my family came back. So that was my journey to LA that a lot of people don't realize, man. I was literally working on the street, bro.
LA is not cheap. You know, LA is not cheap.
It's not cheap at all.
At all. So you did that for 30 days. I mean, you got your family out in 30 days. So what was your first gig once you got to LA? Other than the magic, of course.
The magic was first. My first professional gig. I didn't really know what to do for a year. Like, I was in LA. I didn't know who to talk to. Didn't know how to get in the industry. I didn't have any mentors. I found out I had a brother there who kind of took me in for that first 30 days. So I was able to stay with him on his couch until I got myself together. But my first official job was a singing competition on MTV. It was called Copycat. And I went on the singing competition. I made it to the finals, and I ended up missing the $5,000 reward or whatever the prize was by like a point or two. You know what I'm saying? But it was then, because I went to LA to pursue music because Millionaire was hot. I released a few more singles. I didn't go for acting. I went for music. But when I saw myself on MTV, I was like, yo, you that dude on TV right now, man. Like, this is what you need to be doing. It just felt different. It felt different. So after that, I got an agent. And me and my daughter went to a couple auditions. The first audition we went to, we booked it. It was for a commercial for a grocery store out here. And we just never looked back, man.
So you were trying to bring her in even at that, before you even got in, you were trying to bring you guys in as a pair.
Kinda. So people always see her and say she was so cute. You know what I'm saying? You should get her acting. But I'm like, nah, she's only 2 years old. I ain't gonna do that to my daughter. I don't, you know, I want to see her interests. But I would be going to auditions and I would come back home and she would be saying my lines. Like the lines I was studying and memorizing, she would be saying them out loud. And I'm like, yo, this ain't normal. So after I kind of saw her ability to memorize and her interest in it, I took her to the audition with me and we booked it just like that. And it's been literally just like a rocket ever since that day.
Listen, I've seen you in so many ads and at first I didn't think it was you because it would be so random and like you really weren't saying like, you know, hey, I landed this new, you know, you'll see me on this or see me on that. You never really said too much about that on your social media. So I would be like, man, is this Josh? It looks like Josh, but you know who they say you also look like out there. You know, you kind of like came back.
Batch.
Batch a little bit.
I get all the time, bro.
All the time, right? So I would just be walking so and funny. I would see you and I'd be like
each other's credits.
So you land the gig. So now you're like, this is what I want to do now. I want to pursue acting. Is that kind of how I went? You had a manager.
Yeah. So acting was always the ultimate goal for me, but music and singing was always time-based on my age, for instance, right? I can't be a 45-year-old pop star, but I definitely can be a 45-year-old actor. That's how my mind was wrapping around it, you know what I'm saying? So
okay, that makes
sense. I've always wanted to do it both and all of it, but music was always the focus based on age, you know what I mean? So acting, though, it's like I said, it's always been the ultimate goal, and God kind of opened up those paths, and I didn't want to be disobedient to that. And once I kind of accepted my role, like I was typecast really quick as the young dad, you know what I mean? So being the young, I didn't want to be the young dad. I wanted to be like Will Smith. I want to be Fresh Prince. I want to be iRobot. Right. I want to be Jamie Foxx show. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, embrace who you are. You are a young dad. You do it well. You're very present in your daughter's lives. Just get that money while you can be young dad, you know. I'm like, right. Cool,
that's true. So, what would you say is your favorite out of all the things you do? Would it be the music or the acting? Because I know music is like your baby.
It is. I always say this. So I remember, I don't know if you had to do this in school, but at RAND, we had to do these, they're called career passports. And it's like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where do you see yourself in 20 years? The whole thing. And I never forget. And it's really cool. By 30, I was doing everything I said I would do in my career passport. It was to be a multi-talented entrepreneur that was retired by the age of 25. That was like my goal, right? So I never filled out a real job application since I moved to LA. Never had what you call a real job since I moved to LA. I've been a full-time actor since 2013. And you froze up on me. You still?
Yeah, you kind of, can you hear me?
Okay, I see you there.
You're froze on my end. I can hear you though.
Let me make sure you're good. Can you see me and hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. You're still a little froze.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a freezing. Yeah, give us a sec here. Y'all know how it is, messing with the internet. And it's our first show. We're getting it together. Devin, I see your question. I got you, bro. Shout out to you, Dre. Always support, man. Love you, bro. What's up, Yachty? Give us a second. If I have some elevator music, I'll play it right now. But here, be sure to check out Can't Knock the Pod podcast, though. Shout out to Lissette and DJ Chip Banks, my co-host. What's up, IG? Fam in the building.
Bro, can you hear me okay?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you okay.
Technology be tripping, bro.
Yeah, it be tripping, man. Like, I hate it and love it at the same time.
I know. I don't know how much you heard of that, but.
Yeah, because I could still hear you the whole time, though. You were just frozen.
Oh, you could? Oh, got you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I still can hear you. Cool. So I want to go into some of the shows and movies that you have been in this, right?
Yeah.
But hold on. Before we get there, you were talking about your career path. Were you finished with that? I don't want to cut you off.
No, you're good. I was just saying that picking just one thing was never the plan. And I remember my teacher kind of getting upset with me, like, you jack of all trades, master of none. It's like, well, you can master multiple things, and not just that, you know, you want to be happy with what you do. Like, I just thought it was an old ideology of just picking one thing, mastering being a lawyer, mastering being a doctor, and only doing that. Because even doctors and lawyers have interest in music, you know, some they might play the guitar on the side, whatever the case may be. Just like,
yeah,
that's not the only thing that drives you in your energy. So I never wanted to pick one thing. So I've always, I do graphic designing, magic, music, writing, directing, producing, construction.
You did flyers too.
I'm the flyer guy too, bro. Like, a lot of people don't know.
Like, literally everything in entertainment you touch bases with. It's amazing, man.
Thank you, bro. Amazing.
Yeah, I do want to get into some of your shows you've been in, and then I want to get into some of the commercials you've been in as well. As far as the show, what was your first on set role where you like, all right, I'm here, like, it's real, like, you know what I'm saying? This show is coming on TV. I know you're on the Quad, but I don't think that was your first one though.
Nah, the Quad was actually my first recurring role. I was on two seasons of The Quad. My very first thing was actually I Am Legend. I was an extra in I Am Legend straight out of college. It was probably 2007. And I don't know if you remember the scene where there was like a lot of the zombies and nightwalkers like attacking. You know, they were kind of checking to see who was infected and they was going to let them in a helicopter. That's when the helicopter crashed. Yeah. So I was in that scene, one of like 500 people. And I'm like, yo, I'm on set, baby. We did this. Like, bro, you couldn't see me in a movie. You couldn't see nothing. But it was like, I probably got like $75 for the day. Like, you know?
Hey, did you try to find yourself?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the thing, too. You're so excited. I was telling people, like, Mom, I'm in this movie. Check it out. And you can't ever find yourself. So that happened for at least a year or two in my life to where, you know, I was just kind of paying my dues as extra. I was an Ugly Betty. I was in Notorious. I was actually in a dope scene where Tupac and Biggie went to the Hip Hop Source Awards. I was in 30 Rock with Tina Fey, Alec Baldwin, LL Cool J. So these are like little extra roles that I was getting more and more screen time and just paying my dues, bro. Just it was a really crazy process in New York, but the first role that I was like, okay, this is dope. I did that was a Supergirl on CBS. I was in LA, maybe 2 years or so after me kind of being in LA, paying my dues out here. I landed a co-star role on CBS and I'm in the scene with Supergirl and they gave me the super cool line. And it kind of just changed my perspective on it. It's like, yo, you really can't do this. Like, you're not an extra anymore. Like, your co-star level, you know what I mean? And then after that, the quad came, so recurring things. I was on Girl Boss on Hulu, Netflix, which was a great show. And then, you know, The Neighborhood started coming, then The Rookie, then just things like started picking up. But it's always that one role that kind of gives you that energy to be like, yo, you doing this for a reason. And like, and if you keep going, it's only going to keep getting better.
What was your favorite role out of all of those? What was your, all right, two-part question here. Yeah. What was your favorite extra, like, set to be on when you were just an extra? And then what was your favorite when you had an actual role? Like, what was your favorite show on that one?
My favorite extra role was 30 Rock. And it's because the way the cast kind of just took me in. So I was extra maybe 200-300 people. Again, cattle call, a lot of us. Your number, nobody cares about you, you just there to fill up space. A homie that I met on set, he was dressed up as Flavor Flav, so he had a clock, the hat, everything. And he was like, bro, we've been here for like 5 hours, man, they ain't using us, I'm out of here. I'm like, bro, you can't leave. He's like, I'm leaving. Bro, 20 minutes later, they was like, we need Flavor Flav. I'm like, he just left. They was like, you look like you can fit the costume. Put it on. You're Flavor Flav. And I was like, dope. So I got dressed. And as soon as I get in there, everybody like, yo, you look like Tracy Morgan. I'm like, no, I don't. But okay, whatever. Like, no, I don't. But everybody, so LL Cool J cutting jokes. Alec Baldwin is like, yo, say this line, Flav. Flavor Flav, say this line. Tina Fey, lightweight, like flirting. She's like, oh, you're cute. I'm like, thank you so much. You know, I got this little move where I walk past her and I get to flirt with her in the scene. But it was just really cool to kind of see that relationships, likability, being at the right place at the right time can really transform your career. And that was the first taste I got of that. So I worked with Wayne Brady. He was a guest star in that. I ended up doing magic for Wayne Brady in New York. After that, wow. He remembered me. I did magic for him and his family. And then I did another co-star with Wayne Brady on The Neighborhood. He was a guest star. So it's like those relationships, like, Wayne, you remember me from? He was like, yeah, you know. And then just kind of having that camaraderie with certain actors and as you grow, which was really cool. And then my favorite official role is The Neighborhood. The Neighborhood, hands down. Look, that's because listen,
you
I want to be
watching that.
Oh, bro, it's such a great show, man. And it's also, it's in front of a live studio audience. I get to act with some of my childhood favorites, Tichina Arnold, Cedric the Entertainer. You know what I'm saying? So
Cedric, come on, man.
Cedric's
you can't beat that, man.
It's I feel like I'm at home in The Neighborhood. So that's
okay.
Gonna Go in History is my favorite role so far, for sure.
Yeah, I love that. You got me watching that show. I'm hooked to it. Like every week I'm watching it. I catch it on Hulu after the fact. But yeah, it's a good show. It's a funny show too. And like you said, you can't go wrong with Cedric and Tashina, who are legends.
I'm like, Pam, is that you, Pam?
I mean, you gotta think she's been Pam, then she did the
she was in Little Shop of Horrors too. Everybody Hates Chris. Yeah. So
it's like to see her in that, I was shocked, but yeah, I definitely it was a good role for her, and to see you in there, man. Yeah. You had me laughing, man.
That appreciate it, man. A little fun fact, funny, man. I had met Tichina Arnold maybe 3 days before I got offered the role on The Neighborhood. Her daughter and my daughter were in a short film together, and they play sisters. So I met her at the table read for that project. I'm like, hey, Tichina Arnold, you know, nice to meet you, whatever. 3 days later, I'm on set of The Neighborhood. And she's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I'm Jeremiah. Like, I'm on the show. She's like, what? So it was just like, I swear to you, man, like the universe opens up doors before we even realize what doors are being opened. Because I didn't even audition for that role yet. You know what I'm saying? When I met her.
Okay.
I got that audition after and got the offer. It's crazy how that stuff happened, man.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope. So that, like, how does that feel? Like, from that, I'm sure you know, you're getting out of the trailer and all that. How is that life? Like, do you sometimes just be like, I can't believe that I'm a kid from Youngstown, Ohio, and I'm in Hollywood right next to Cedric the Entertainer?
All the time, bro. Like, my life is just really dope, but I've worked really hard for this, you know, the blessings that I have. And I, sometimes I just look up like, bro, I'll be taking out the trash and I look up at my house like, thank you, God. Like, this is, you know, it's just, I don't know, man. It's just one of those things, you work hard and the hard work pays off. And it's not always about material things, right? But it's like the little wins to know that everything was stacked against me. Like, I grew up in Youngstown with, as you said, not many opportunities. Went to Rand in the Youngstown City School District, which is, you know, not really high in the national levels of education, you know. But I was fortunate to have people to take me under their wing, see potential in me, believe in my belief in myself, and just kind of propel me forward. I had really good support from Youngstown, and throughout my entire career, I've always leaned on Youngstown for things. And with that being said, bro, like, you know, a lot of cats from Youngstown is like, bro, we could have been locked up.
Yeah, shot anything, up, anything,
drugged up.
That's a fact, man. It's we made like, it, bro. So Youngstown is you're always in like arm's length of the wrong decision, you know, the wrong
absolutely
move. Devin, he said, where did all these stock photos come from? And then Lamar Sites, what's Lamar, up, Lamar?
What up?
He said, I used a stock photo of Josh in a presentation I did at work today. So.
Yo, I ain't getting no bread off of those either. So the beginning of my career, this is a lesson for all actors. Don't do it, man. Like, I was out here trying to make bread. I got offered like $700 a day, $800 a day, something like that, to take pictures. And I kept doing a good job. There's a, oh, come back tomorrow. Come, oh, you did, so, you're a nurse today. Oh, come back tomorrow, you'll be a bus driver. I'm like, cool. So, bro, I'm just stacking up this bread. By the end of it, I got maybe like $7,000 to $10,000. You know what I mean? I'm like, yo, I'm really out here. And then this had to be like 2014, bro. So they've been planning. They've been using my photos a lot. So then after that,
same I see pictures myself, from them.
Same pictures, bro. Same pictures. And they, bro. Somebody was like, "Yo, you're in Africa on a billboard." I was like, "What?" They showed me the picture. I was like, "No, bro." They was like, "Bro, you're in London on a bus." I'm like, "What?" So, just bad representation at the time, in a sense of like leadership of like advising me what to do. And then me being broke and hungry at that time, like just doing what I need to do. But, you know, it's funny going to Walmart and seeing my face in a frame. Like, I'm like, I might have to buy that now. I ain't even got to put a picture in it. It's like, that's me.
That's kind of messed up that they could do that, man. It's
bro. Don't
funny
don't
now, but it's still messed man. Up. Like, so they could be using them for the rest of your life. And
yeah, they have them what they call in perpetuity. So the contract literally says for the rest of your life throughout all the universes, da 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 da, whatever. But, you know, I have new management and agents now that can kind of, you know, what you call scrub those things like that, like as I progress my career. But the other thing, too, is the more famous I become or the more popular I become in my career, the least that people will want to use those, because they're gonna be like, oh, that's Joshua from the neighborhood. This is not some random person that people don't know. You know what I'm saying? So the more recognizable you are, the more they'll pull them and won't use them. So that's a good thing about it.
So let's speak on your commercial game, because that's where like I've really seen you a lot. I know you've done, you're not doing your local commercials. You're doing prime time Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah, like, yeah, man.
Was that a Pepsi or?
My very first national commercial was Pepsi. I was with Usher. That wasn't a Super Bowl spot, but I've done 4 Super Bowl commercials consecutively. For the last year was the first year that I didn't do a Super Bowl commercial. And that's because of COVID and stuff like that. But before that, I did a Google. I did an E-Trade. I did a Miller Lite. And I did one more. Lincoln, I think it was Lincoln in a spot or something like that. But yeah, bro, like the goal coming from New York to LA was always, if you get one commercial a year, you can eat and be good and be comfortable. That's how the numbers used to pan out. Like back in the day, bro, like before I started, because I didn't realize the pay structure changed, but you can get upwards of $100,000 for one commercial. Like, so I'm like, cool, if I get one a year, I'm good. But then I started seeing the, you know, this is getting into representation. This is getting into not racism, but like stereotypes and discrimination. A lot of Black commercials, they only air on Black stations like BT, ESPN, when the Warriors are playing. Right. They don't play them on all the channels. And how you're paid with commercials is residuals. Every time you your commercial airs, you get a check. So I started seeing, I did a McDonald's commercial, and they filmed a Black version and a white version at the exact same time. And I was the lead in that one. So I'm like, yo, I'm about to eat. Finally, I got the jackpot. Thank God. But they would take me out, put the white cast in. Cool. They shot that. Boom. Put me back in, shoot it again. So at the very end, there's a website that you can track how many times your commercial has been played. My McDonald's commercial got played 250 times. The white version got played 2,500 times. And that's a huge page. Just like, bro, it, literally for the color of my skin. You know what I'm saying? And I get demographics and I get all that, but you know, we always see McDonald's commercial, Mickey D's. Right. Yeah, and I'm like, yo, Mickey D's, they're always looking out for us. But they're only showing it on these particular networks. So once I learned about what they call general consumer market, which is the white version that they show on all the channels, and that's really the payoff. I was like, yo, I got to do 7 commercials just to be able to get the pay that my peers are getting sometimes. You know what I mean? So it was a learning curve. It's really terrible, bro. But you know, I was fortunate enough to be able to match that of, you know, my peers. Like you book one a year, I'm gonna book 10. That was my philosophy. Nice. So I've done over 70 national commercials since I've been here in LA, and over 150 collectively with my family since I've been here in LA. So it's a blessing to say that, you know, commercials have been my full-time job, essentially, as I'm fishing my way through the acting industry with TV and film. You know, it takes time. It's not easy, but I'm able to eat from acting and not have to wait tables or bartend sell cars. You know what I'm saying? So
No. Facts.
That's so where we at, though.
Is there a big difference between a regular commercial? No commercials, regular, but... And then the Super Bowl commercial, is it like a huge different on set? Like
it used to be. It's not anymore. It's literally the exact same thing. The difference is popularity. So say you say you get like a Doritos spot, right? Those tend to be pretty popular around Super Bowl. It gets popular, so they air it all the time because it was a Super Bowl spot that was really popular. And again, the more times you air it, the more money you get from it at the end of the day. So it really depends on the popularity of some of these commercials, how long they run it. They usually run a commercial for what they call a 13-week cycle. So if you book a commercial, you know it's guaranteed to run for at least 13 weeks, and then it will get renewed if it's popular enough. So
I remember the
Super Bowl spots usually get renewed.
You were like right next to Usher. Like how did that happen where you were like right next to him on that commercial?
Bro, that whole experience was crazy because I told you that was my first national, man. I'm about to tell you a secret. So my agent at the time was super non-traditional. Usually in order to get an audition, you submit your photo, submit your resume. They were like, all right, we like you, come get an audition. Mm-hmm. My agent submitted my photo, submitted my resume, and I didn't get an audition. But he knew where the audition was. He was like, bro, just show up and sign in. I was like, but... they're going to say I'm not supposed to be. He's like, bro, just show up and sign in. I just showed up and I signed in. It was like, Joshua, you're not on the list. I was like, yeah, my agent just told me to come. You know, I was like, I ain't lying. He told me to come. He was like, okay, well, whatever. Show me what you got. So I ended up getting a callback. And my agent was like, I told you, just show up and go. You got a callback. So I go to the callback. They upgrade my role to Usher's best friend. I'm like, dope. So I end up getting my very first booking of a SAG National. I got my trailer for the first time. Usher's here. It's a big freaking event. You know what I'm saying? And they was like, cool. They dressed me up like a celebrity. I had like the dope leather jacket. And I was like, you gonna hold a Pepsi? It was just dope, man. I was like, yo, this is fire. Yeah, but I have a video of my first time in the trailer, just like with a selfie. And it's like, yo, I just felt like mama, I made it. Like I got my own trailer.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's just crazy, bro. It's crazy.
Oh, that's dope. Yeah, a whole trailer. I couldn't imagine. Like,
yeah, man. Trailer. Like when you're on set, they feed you all day. All you can eat, whatever you want. Like it's just, it's different, bro. It's different.
Oh, that's good. So now that you're doing, you know, you're doing your thing. You're in the commercials. You're on the shows. You bring in your daughter, and you start bringing her around. What age did you first get her involved in, like, really into the roles?
She was about 3 years old when she started in commercials with me. She just booked, she's 10 years old now, so call that, you know, 7 to 8 years. She just booked her first series regular role. She's a lead role on iCarly, the new TV show on Paramount Plus. So,
oh man, clap for her.
She's, yeah, man, that's incredible, bro. Like, yeah. We've literally, she's exceeded my expectations for myself and for her. She was born into it, bro. Like Michael Jackson was born into it. Beyonce was born into it. She was born into it. She's had a living coach. You know, I get to help her and coach her and train her and cultivate her and mold her into this little superstar. And she just showed interest and was always really good at it, you know. But 3 years old was her first commercial. She did a few feature films. She did a feature film called Major Deal with Keron Harris and Simone, like a lot of the social media influencers. They did a joint for Def, All Def Digital. And she's done a few TV shows. She was on The Affair. She was on Blackish. She was on Station 19. She's, you know, she's been killing it, bro. I love to see her grow.
On you got, y'all always get me watching something, but she was on the Netflix show, I don't think it's called The
Family Reunion. Family Reunion.
Yep. Yep. I'm hooked on that now because of you guys.
It's a good show. It's a good show.
It's a good show. It's a good family show.
I don't know why they didn't
bring
her character back. Like they,
she did a great job.
She did do a great job. I don't know what happened with the, because the writers, they tend to write as they go along, but they didn't want to flesh out the storyline with that particular character and the boyfriend and stuff like that. But yeah, man, it was a great role for her, and I think it gave her the ability to kind of see what it feels like to be on stage in front of a live studio audience and get more meat on that bone, you know, as far as biting off some more lines and scenes and stuff.
Yeah.
But she loved it. Like, she was like, yo, I love this show. I want to go back. And I was like, she really enjoys this, man. It just made me feel good as a father to be able to propel her even further than that.
So you manage her. Do you manage her?
Yeah, I'm her personal manager. I'm her dialect coach, I'm her script supervisor, all that. And I would say last year I got her with a career manager, but I'm still her personal manager. But when I got her with the career manager that I chose, shout out to Kim over at Schuller Talent. She's amazing. She was responsible for Michael Michelle on Mixed Dish, the little cute little girl from there. Anna Kendrick, you know, like some really incredible stars that were child actresses that turned into superstars. But she got her with one of the top 10 agencies in the world, bro. She's with Paradigm Talent Agency. And that's kind of when things took off. Her first audition, she booked it. It's called C. It's on Apple TV Plus, Jason Momoa's show. And it's just crazy. Like I said, man, just kind of having your team in place. But that was me kind of picking the team, picking the right tools, making sure she's prepared.
Because from your experience, you know kind of what she needs and what...
Absolutely. And then also being able to protect her too, you know, because Hollywood's crazy. Right. But being her father and being, you know, being in the industry, it helped be able to kind of guide her through everything too.
So you're on the sidelines, you're watching her act. I'm sure you're like saying the lines in your head or mouthing them because you know it while you're watching.
Yeah, of course.
How's that feeling like? And
bro,
then like,
nothing like
you
it.
Said she wanted to be on the show, and they kind of, you know, didn't write her for the next season.
Yeah.
How's that like? How can they explain that part to her?
That was tough. That was her first sense of heartbreak in the career, because she's taught me a lot as a kid actress. You know, I would take her to audition. She would go have fun and leave. You know, if she got a callback, great. But if she didn't, she forgot about it. And she would go to callback to have fun, maybe some other kids there, and she would do her thing and leave. And if she booked it, great. If she didn't, she forgot about it. And that kind of shifted my mindset as an actor, because we as actors tend to do things for the money or for the booking or for the notoriety or the credit. And when we don't get it, we're all hurt. And we're like, dang, what's wrong with me? Like, am I not funny enough? Am I, I don't look good enough? Am I too fat? Whatever those things are, right? But as a kid perspective, very innocent, I saw her go in, youthful, kill it, leave it there, and leave. And when she got it, it was gratefulness. It was humble. It was, you know what I'm saying? It was a blessing, you know? So when I adopted the ideology, that's when I started killing it. But so seeing her kind of get her feelings hurt that she wasn't brought back to the show, it taught me that, hey, she still is human, number one. And this is my daughter who's a child, and I have to learn how to nurture those feelings, you know. But she's always been ahead of her years. So I simply told her, like, you know, this one wasn't for you. And whatever, you know, whatever's for you will come. And lo and behold, here comes iCarly, which is literally the best role ever and the best family and cast and support system that she could have ever dreamed of being attached to. So, but watching her, bro, because we work together a lot. We've done a lot of stuff together. Mm-hmm. But anytime I'm just dad and I'm on the sidelines watching her, I'm like, yo, she's really good. Like, yo, she's really dope. Like, better than a lot of these grownups that she's acting with. Like, she's really that good, you know? So it was just a proud father moment, man. Just really proud.
So did I shoot that in Vancouver?
Family Reunion was shot in LA. C was shot in Vancouver.
Okay, so
she was in Vancouver for 3 weeks.
Because I've been watching your YouTube, and we can get into
Truth
the
Family Network. Yeah,
you got an empire going here, man. Your YouTube page is pretty loaded. So, like,
thank you, man.
I'm watching you guys in Vancouver, watching you guys interact. It's beautiful. It's like,
thank you, man.
You can tell this is what you guys do. Like, you know,
yeah, 1-2 punch, it's genuine. It's not forced. You know,
yeah, super genuine.
There was a comment that was put on there, like, you know, because a lot of people fear for child actors to be forced and doing it against their will. Their parents are making them do it, but she is a natural at this. She enjoys it. And the vlogs on our YouTube shows that clearer than anything else. It's like she's naturally mm-hmm. this person. And just, you know, like, I want to be an actor. She wants to be an actor. And it's affording her this opportunity at 10 years old. Like, I became SAG when I was like 30, you know, 29. She was SAG since she was 6, bro. You know what I'm saying? So it's like there's levels to this, and she's born into it. Yes, so she's automatically going to grow quicker than me. Pound for pound, she's much better than I was. At her age, I wasn't touching her.
Oh, that's dope. So does your wife, does she doesn't want to get into the world?
She's not interested in it, but she has done a few commercials with us. I'll say this, and I always, just to give people perspective, she's done more commercials than a lot of my friends who do this full time, you know, just kind of being a part of the family dynamic. But she's not interested. Dope. She's never gone to acting class. She hates being in front of camera. But she's, you know, she's beautiful. She's natural. She knows the do's and don'ts because she watches and helps me and my daughter. It just works. And so she'd much that's rather dope. Do it that's as dope. A family, but she won't ever do it by herself.
No, that's dope. So back on the YouTube channel, the Triplet Family Network.
Yeah.
You do the series with your family. You do that, what, like 3 days a week, something like that.
Yep. Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
And then you do with your daughter. I know you got a series when you guys were in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And and then I seen somewhere you're shooting, you're kind of like filming her while she's acting, you know, doing her roles.
Which yeah, is like behind cool. the scenes. Behind and the stuff. Scenes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty dope. Yeah. But I want to get into this music video that I've been following, and I'm waiting. For this
next, you waiting for the next one?
I'm waiting, Josh.
I film it Monday.
Listen, I'm gonna say you are not getting the credit that you deserve for these thank music you, videos. Okay,
like thank you, man.
And I was late to the party too on it, but I literally was at the, and I'm not saying that because you're right in front of me, but I was at the edge of my seat. Like,
thank you,
I think I watched it out of order first. I watched like eight first or seven, whatever the last one. I watched that one first, and I was like, wait, this is supposed to be in order. So then I go back and watch it, and then see how you got to that point. Josh is
literally, I almost have tears in my eye, man, because I'm trying to get emotional with this, but it's one of those projects. It's one of those projects that is really a passion type project. Now, I've been working on it now for almost 3 years. So, you know, some people, they get this idea and it never comes into fruition, you know, like into fruition. But this is something I've been working on and pounding the pavement for it to make happen, and for people to actually have eyes on it now is so like, bro, thank you for watching. Thank you for, you know, taking time. And this is very easily digestible. Like, it's good music, it's good content. But it's really cool to have people, like, I think as artists, especially as a musician, a lot of times we just want people to see it. We just want people to listen.
Facts.
That's it. I don't need your money.
Just listen. Just listen to it.
Just listen, please. Like, just lend me your time. That's all I want, your time. You know, man. So thank you so much for watching, bro. It means a lot to me.
You're gonna enjoy it. If they give it a listen, they're gonna enjoy it. Like,
it's really, let me tell you how I got to the idea. So, you know, there's been a lot of attempts at visual albums before, and I wanted to do something different because I kind of fell out of love with being a musician as an artist, like going on tour and things like that. I kind of wanted to just be, I'm an actor first and storyteller and filmmaker. So I was like, how can I do this? Right. So I wake up out of my sleep and God tells me they're doing it all wrong. And I'm like, what does that mean? He said, what is the last thing you do when you're shooting a movie? And I'm like, the music. He said, bingo. The last thing you do is the music. You do the score. So I was like, most people, when they do visual albums, they already have the music. They make a video to make it work. And then they try to make that match. And then they do a video for each one, but it's not cohesive. It's never telling a story. Lemonade was pretty close to that. But it's just never been what I'm trying to do. So I decided to write out a story, create character development, create an arc, a climax, a resolution, take people on a journey. And then I went and made music to it. And then I was able to attach the music and the tone to the specific story that I was trying to tell. So at the end of the day, I'm like, yo, I got 16 monologues. It's coming from my perspective. It's going to be a feature film to where you'll get the inner cut, like what happened in between the moments, and from other people's perspective as well. So it's not only going to come from me. But right now, the musical web series is literally just from my perspective, how I interpreted everything. But when you watch the feature film, you'll see what my wife was interpreting, what the other girl was thinking about. And it's really going to be cool because it's going to be shot like a real feature film with real dialogue, real acting scenes.
That's dope.
But right now, it's kind of like trapped in a closet, but it's a continuation of a story where each song is different and each song drives that particular part of the story. So I'm proud of it, man.
I love how you put like the next song at the end of the current one. So this next song sounds like a banger.
It's dope, bro. Act like it, man. It's one of my favorites. And it's the first one that I'm using my falsetto. It's a very vulnerable type song too. But I don't know. It's each song is different, bro. Like, so people are like, what's your favorite on the project? I'm like, all of them, because each one touches a different part of me mentally.
I actually have a favorite one.
Is it Lost in You? Number two?
No, it's not number two. It's not number two.
Okay, a lot of people love number two. That's what I was wondering.
Let me see. I have to find it. And I should have just had it up.
I think my favorite is one, Grow. It's one of my favorites. It's like the 80s vibe. And then number five, The Limit. Just it got that hit, like
I know that's my the limit.
I know my
limit. That's it. Yeah, the limit. Yeah, because a lot of people don't know their limit,
bro.
And
it's
I love
hard
how the video. Yeah, I can't say enough about that, Josh. Like I really enjoy that, man. I do, man.
Thank you,
real.
Bro. I appreciate
you doing a good job on that. So after this, is this going to be a whole album that?
It is.
Not a song.
Yeah, right now I'm releasing them as singles. That way people can kind of do that. I just released Act One, which is 1 through 4 as an EP. Act Two is coming out in August, which is 5 through 8.
Okay.
5 through 9, sorry. And then the third installment will be the full project, all 16 records. And the third act, bro, oh my God. It gets nuts, bro. Like, that's where everything kind of hits the fan. And I'm still in Youngstown just trying to figure out life. And again, bro, this is the first time as an artist I have something to say. And I'm able to be vulnerable. And, you know, because I'm 12 years into my marriage, the beautiful kids. And this was a growing period for us to be able to talk about what we went through, our growing pains. Because a lot of times people see on Instagram or Facebook, like, oh, he got it all together. He got a beautiful family. It's yep. Like, no, like, I had to work for this. I almost lost this being the idiot. You know what I'm saying? So being able to be truthful to my story and open up my, bro, it's like stuff, my mom is watching these and I'm like, dang, this is crazy. Like, you know what I mean?
Hey, cause look, that on that's on the zone. It got a little steamy. Yeah.
That's the craziest thing I've ever filmed, bro. And shout out to my actress Hart Hayes, man, for being down for that. But yeah, bro, it's, you know, I want it to be as tasteful as possible, but still be able to tell the story and understand the struggle that I was going through mentally, because a lot of people say, can you be in love with two people at one time, right? Was I in love with two people? Not necessarily, but I was definitely in like, you know what I'm saying? I definitely wanted to be with two people at one time, you know, in that sense. And I didn't want to choose. And choosing, you saw what I chose in the last one. It's like, yo, did you really just choose that? You know, no spoilers, but that's real life. That happened.
Now I know it's a true story. I need to see how you got it back right. Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Take notes. Get your pen out, bro. Get your pen out.
Hey, I know my limit, man. I know my limit.
Hey, I thought I knew mine, bro. And then I went to the zone. I went from the limit to the zone, bro. This can't.
Oh man, hey, I really appreciate you, man, for taking the time. What are you going forward? Like, what are your expectations for your career and things that you got in the works other than the music, which you just said?
Yeah, the music is key right now. Just finishing off this project with the series, finishing the album, which is already done. I just kind of been like holding it. The feature film version of this will be a big, you know, project for me. Outside of that, just being considered for some series regular roles that I'm waiting to hear back from. Hopefully I can get my big TV break as well. Of course, managing my daughter. They're wrapping up season one tomorrow, actually. This is the last episode of the season. The first three is out on Paramount Plus. Definitely check it out. She's incredible in it. But we're waiting to hear about season two. If season two happens, well, when season two happens, that's going to kind of solidify our September or, you know, our fall. That way I can kind of know what's going on. As an actor, a lot of things are up in the air because you're in between contracts all the time, you know, but, I'm still producing as well. I have a TV show I'm working on. I sold a show. I don't know if you've ever seen my show, Black Coffee. I sold a show, to Funny or Die last year, just before the pandemic, that I started in. I helped write, helped direct, helped produce. That was my first official like sell to a network, which was really cool. So I'm hoping to get another one of those under my belt. But more of the same, man. Black Coffee. I might put a link on my website. So if you go to tripletfamilynetwork.com, I'll put a link to my website. It should be up there. Okay. But until then, you can go to funnyordie.com and just search Black Coffee. But my website will have it for sure.
Okay. That's dope, man.
That's a really cool series. You would enjoy that too.
Oh, that's good. Anything that you've told me to watch, I've enjoyed. So
thank you, bro.
I'm definitely going to check that out. I'm not seeing any more questions in the comments here.
Cool.
So, man, like, hey, I appreciate you. Is there anything else you wanted to say to the people, man, or to Youngstown?
Nah, man. I appreciate Youngstown always. Thank you for supporting the love. Follow on my website, triplefamilynetwork.com, for any, you know, behind the scenes exclusive updates. We also have merch. We have a really dope merch that we're dropping as well. Just support any way you can. Again, it's not always about money. A lot of times it's just a share, a like, a comment, just to know you're there. It goes a long way in this career, because numbers do matter at the end of the day. So, but facts. You know, facts. I thank you. I thank Youngstown, man. Youngstown born, Youngstown bred, bro. Swable, sorry, bro.
Hey, man, I thank you for taking the time out your schedule, man. Rooting for you, your daughter, your whole family, man. I'm definitely going to check out everything you do. I'm waiting on the next video, man.
Thank you, man. I'm shooting it Monday. It's going to be coming out quick. It's coming out quick. I can't wait to show y'all.
That's good to hear, man. Appreciate you, man.
All right, man. Y'all take it easy. Peace.
Can't knock the interview. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks, Josh Tripp, Youngstown Studio. This will be in podcast form tomorrow. You'll be able to check it out on YouTube as well. And I'll put it on Can't Knock the Pod page as well. So appreciate everybody for tuning in. Thank you for the first one. Be on the lookout for, I got some good guests lined up. And just thank you guys, man. Shout out to Dre Nicks. I'm wearing his brand loyalty today. Appreciate you as well, man.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.
Did I get my call?